Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tremel Gomes. Republican Senator Mike Fasano stood against the wishes of his leader in the Florida Senate and paid a dear price. Senate President Mike Haradopoulos stripped Fasano of his committee chairmanship after he fought a plan to privatize state prisons. Many have criticized the move as political payback, while Haradopoulos have said he simply lost confidence in the lawmakers' willingness to cut government costs. Fasano says when he makes decisions about how to vote on a bill, he's not thinking about what the leaders of his party would want him to do. He's thinking about how his vote will affect his constituents. Fasano sits down with our chief legislative news producer, James Call, and talks about his fight to take care of, quote, the little guys and gals.
Senator Mike Fasano from Pasco County, welcome to It's About Florida.
Thank you for allowing me to come and visit with you.
So tell us, how do you start a revolution?
How do I start a revolution? You start it in a peaceful way, first of all. You would encourage people to speak out. You would encourage people to get involved. You would encourage people to participate and let their elected officials know how they feel about maybe a certain issue back home that's important to them. I'm a big believer that all good ideas come from the grassroots, although we do get some good ideas that are developed and created in Tallahassee. I have found that as in my 18 years as a state legislator, probably that some of the best ideas came from the grassroots people back in our district.
Your involvement in politics started at the local level as a volunteer with the local Republican Executive Committee. And you were a young teenager when you became active.
Yes, that's correct. That was many, many, many years ago. Shortly after I came down here with my parents and my siblings to Florida from Long Island, New York, I got involved as a teenager in the Republican Party, volunteered to do whatever a volunteer would do to help a candidate get elected. Many times we were successful, many times we were not. Never did I think that one day I would be a state legislator. One of the reasons is my dad passed away when I was 15 years old, and it was just my mom and I. I'm the youngest of five, and I had to quit school. I quit school at 15 in order to go to work to support my mom and myself at that time after my dad passed away. So I did not get my GED or high school diploma until I was 28 years old. Never did I even consider thinking that I would be one day an elected official, let alone being in the Florida legislature for 18 years.
That's an interesting story, how what happened. Like in the mid-1980s, when you were in your mid-20s, you had a dark period, an 18-month period. The IRS came after you. Voters handed you a defeat, and you lost your job. You were 28 years old. You had no income, no marketable skills, no education. But within 8 years, you were at the Florida House as a representative.
Well, I think that tells everyone one thing, and that is that everyone in this great country of ours, in this great state of ours, has that opportunity, has the and the ability to move ahead. But I learned at 28 years old I was going nowhere fast without at least a GED, without at least a high school diploma. And through the great encouragement of some dear friends, a couple of them that were in the educational system in Pasco County, where I'm from, encouraged me to go back and get my high school diploma, GED, and to also begin taking some classes at what was then St. Pete Junior College. And I tell you, I can't thank them enough for telling me to do that. And today, as I visit with students from all around the state that are maybe going through some troubled times, I tell them my story. And I tell them that at their age, they are light years ahead of where I was when I was their age because of the problems that I had in my teens of having to drop out of school, losing my job at 28 years old. And my job, by the way, was delivering newspapers. I was a carrier for the St. Petersburg Times, which is now the Tampa Bay Times, built it to one of the largest routes within the company, a great company to work for, by the way. We may not agree sometimes philosophically, but just a great company, a good company, good family company. And then we just parted our ways for whatever reason. And at that point in time, I realized I was going nowhere fast. And that's when I went back and got my GED, began to take some courses at St. Pete Junior College. And then I thought, well, we'll move on to other things.
So what? But you didn't pursue academics. You never graduated. Got a degree from St. Petersburg Junior College.
No, and you know what? I kind of regret that a little bit. I do have quite a few credits probably still there. I just got so involved in politics and work that I never completed that degree or getting that degree. I would not encourage anyone not to do that. I believe that education is probably one of the most important things to anyone's life, because the more education you have, the more knowledge you have in using that knowledge to get ahead and helping others, in fact.
I'm really interested in how you built your political career and your power base, because you became the head of the Pasco County
West Pasco Republican Club.
Right.
I did.
And it seems in the newspaper accounts from the period, it seems that your approach was really quite interesting in that you organized field trips for people, yeah, not only to Tallahassee for the legislative session, but also to places like SeaWorld. You became a part of people's lives.
Well, it was an opportunity to raise dollars as a political club, as a Republican club. You always wanted to raise money to help candidates in the fall, those Republican candidates that would be on the November ballot. And so in order to do that, we thought, well, let's raise dollars, but also let's have fun doing that. The majority of the members of the West Pasco Republican Club were senior citizens, and got to know them extremely well. Had a wonderful relationship with them, learned a lot. You know, when I first came down here to Florida 40 years ago as a teenager, grew up in a retirement community, which is called Holiday Lake Estates. It's no longer a retirement community. A lot of more younger families there, but back then it was nothing but retirees. And so I grew up as a teenager amongst retirees and learned so much from them, an enormous amount of knowledge, of information, respect, courtesy, and the love for our country. And so when I became president of the West Pasco Republican Club, I was able to, you know, increase that relationship with our senior citizens, and they enjoyed taking trips. So that's what we did. We took trips to Washington, D.C., to Tallahassee, all around the state. And at the same time, we were able to raise money and help Republican candidates.
So here you are, a man in your late teens, early 20s, and you're hanging out with senior citizens and organizing them politically.
Yeah, they were. I guess you could say that. You know, when I first moved down here, like I said, to West Pasco, the small communities that were being built in that area, in the Holiday, Tarpon Springs, Newport Richey, Hudson area, were pretty much predominantly retired senior citizens that were coming down there and living. And so those are the people that I grew up with. There were very few children in the community that I lived in at that time. So our neighbors, our friends, or my neighbors and my friends were senior citizens. And you couldn't purchase that type of not only friendship, but also the ability to garner that knowledge and experience and understanding and appreciation for our country from those who, you know, pretty much made our country. They were from the greatest generation.
The knowledge and experience. So you come to Tallahassee in 1994.
Yes.
As a freshman House of Representatives.
In the minority party. The Republicans were still the minority party back then.
Within 2 years, you're the majority whip.
In 1994, I was elected. In 96, we became the majority party in the Florida House for the first time since Reconstruction. Daniel Webster, what a great name.
For politics, to be
the first speaker since Reconstruction that happened to have an R next to his name. But a great speaker, by the way, and did a wonderful job, and a dear friend. He asked me to be a majority whip, which I think we had two of them. Faye Culp was the other one at the time.
And then in 2001, you resigned as a majority leader.
Yes.
And you resigned because of complaints about your management style, which the Times described as bare-knuckled, with demands that fellow Republicans vote the party line.
Well,
people rebelled against you.
Some of that was probably correct. But also there was what I felt is some of the responsibilities, not responsibilities, but I'll say that some of the requirements as a majority leader in the Florida House were that you make certain that the votes were there at the appropriate time when the speaker needed them. And I thought that that after 1 year that I would like to move on from being majority leader and ask the speaker, Speaker Tom Feeney at the time, if I could move into a chairmanship, a council chairmanship, and be able to do more policy than politics. Because when you're the majority leader, it's pretty much nothing but politics. When you are a chairman of a committee, you have the ability to create and hopefully do some good things within as far as policy is concerned.
But it seems to be a dividing line in your career, because in 2003, you broke with the GOP, with the Republican Party, and you opposed Governor Jeb Bush on a telephone rate hike. And since that time, you've been somewhat of a maverick, staking out, as you said, you're more interested in policy
yes.
than politics, and you're very vocal about what you believe to be good policy.
If I may, I don't think I broke with the GOP at that time. I believe, just like today, as I fight on behalf of consumers, whether it be in regards to insurance premiums, electric rates, telephone rates, I don't think that's a partisan issue. It may be a partisan issue in Tallahassee. It may be a partisan issue in Washington. It's not a partisan issue back home in our districts. Republicans don't come and tell me in my district, please raise my insurance premiums. Please raise my electric rates. Please give everything that you can to help the corporations that provide us insurance and provide us electric and water and sewer. I don't think that's a partisan issue back home. That's a pocketbook issue. That's an issue that that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you feel in your pocketbook every day. Because guess what, senior citizens and working families happen to be both Republicans and Democrats and Independents that are struggling right now.
But you have paid the price politically for such thinking.
Well, but that's part of the process, and. We've been through it. We've had our ups and downs. I'm a big believer that, especially in politics, you're never up all the time. You're never, on top all the time, and you shouldn't be. I think it's healthy to have to come down every once in a while. I think it's healthy to appreciate what others are having to deal with at the lower level, if you will, and there's nothing wrong with that. I wish some of my colleagues would too have to go through that and truly understand and appreciate what other people are having to deal with throughout the state in regards to just putting food on the table and having a roof over their head.
So you use the term the little guys and girls
yes.
that you like to stand up for. Yeah. You've been described as –
little guys and gals.
Little guy. Thank you. You've been described as your policies or politics has been described as a populist consumerism.
Yes.
In the last 2 years, you've lost two chairmanships
yes.
as a form of punishment for not following the party line.
And I apologize. My two chairmanships would be –
The Transportation well, Economic Development well, Subcommittee.
I was, yes, yeah. Well, I was the president of the Senate, Mike Herodopoulos. I didn't lose that chairmanship. It's up to the president where he wants to put his members. And when he became president, he asked me to take over the chairmanship that oversaw the budgets of the Department of Corrections and Department of our public defenders and prosecutors, things like that. So I don't say that I lost that chairmanship, but I did recently lose the chairmanship that I chaired, in the last year and a half, because I broke with President Herodopoulos and Chairman Alexander and Rules Chairman Thrasher. I did not support the privatization of prisons to the extent that they wanted to go.
Your term limited out.
Yes, and may I add, there's probably some people in Tallahassee that they're very pleased that I'm term limited out, but I wear that with a badge of honor.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes. Republican Senator Mike Fasano of Newport Richey is explaining how his rebellion to privatize state prisons resulted in him getting booted from his chairmanship in the Senate. James Call continues with the interview.
you seem to thrive in the political arena.
Yes.
You've been involved since you were at least 15.
Oh, yeah, at least, yes.
And you really give the impression that you enjoy it. I remember a few years ago, former Senator Posey was working on a massive insurance bill.
Yeah, good. He's a congressman now.
Right.
Congressman Posey.
And I'm riding in the elevator with him because we're going to go do an interview. You get in on one floor, ride up two floors, and you turn to Senator Posey and said, I read your bill last night. I love it. I simply love it. And the doors open and you walked out. I mean, you were talking like a connoisseur saying, you got to try the Merlot. or a racing car aficionado, you know, going like, I mean, you thrive on this. Now, your term limited out after 18 years.
Yes, sir.
And it's a redistricting year. I mean, you've paid the price politically by opposing the party on prison privatization.
Yes, sir.
Why not play along?
Well, because you don't play along if you think it's wrong. And in this case, it was absolutely wrong. And, you know you say the party, but there were nine Republicans that also opposed, well, eight other additional Republicans along with myself that said no to the expansion of privatization of our prison system. In my opinion, it's not a conservative way to go to turn over $500 million worth of correctional facilities that were paid for by the taxpayers of Florida to two corporations that trade on the New York Stock Exchange. I don't think that it's the conservative way to go to privatize public safety. That is dangerous, in my opinion. There are in areas within government that you privatize, and we've seen successes in those areas, but not when you're dealing with public safety. And so when I see and when I – it's not just the privatization of prisons. It's beyond that. It's opposing what the insurance industry wants to do in Tallahassee, and that is to have carte blanche and be able to raise rates whenever they want to deny claims, to increase the replacement cost of homes that only people could wish and dream about selling them at that price. It goes beyond just the privatization. It's fighting the electric company, Progress Energy, that wants to continue to charge a fee on everybody's electric bill so they can build two nuclear power plants that we know will never be built. And yet they continue to collect those dollars each month. It's beyond just privatization. It's many issues that affect the pocketbooks and the consumers back home. And if it means that I lose a chairmanship for that, if it means that a few of my colleagues and the special interest groups in Tallahassee are upset with me, I'm sorry, but that's the way it goes. I didn't come to Tallahassee for a popularity contest.
You use the term special interest groups, but among those would be the Republican leadership.
Well,
I mean, on all these issues, you are in opposition to the leadership of the Republican Party.
Well, I don't know if I would consider President Haridopoulos the leader of the Republican Party in Tallahassee or in the state of Florida. He is the president of the Senate that was voted by unanimously, in fact, at the organizational session to be the president of the Senate. He is a Republican, but I respectfully disagree with him and the chairman of the Budget Committee, Senator Alexander, on the direction that they want to take our state in the areas that I just described.
So that's Tallahassee, but your support for former Governor Charlie Crist,
yes,
led to you getting kicked out of your local Republican Party.
You know, I was reelected by the people of the district and a few years ago with almost 64% of the vote.
But you had 65%.
Thank you very much, 65. But that's what I look at. I don't look at what the special interests think of me in Tallahassee. I don't look at whether, you know, President Haridopoulos gets up in the morning and wonders, is Mike Fasano going to be with me on this issue today? If it's a good issue and it's good for the people of Florida, I'll be with him. But the most important thing is how the people back home feel.
Well, you have a long story. You're 18 years. There's a lot of battles that you've fought, and sometimes you've stood alone. Going back to the prison privatization debate.
Sure.
And it was nine Republicans who voted against it. What was the discussions like among like you and Senator Dockery and Senator Dean and Senator Ulrich? How did that group come together?
Well, you know, there really was never any that included me, and I don't think with the other members, that really we all got together in one room and said, this is what we're going to do. But I think what it was is that it's just their own personal philosophy and understanding of the issue. I mean, you had two former sheriffs, Sheriff Dean and Sheriff Ulrich. that are now state senators that gave eloquent speeches on the Senate floor as to why they oppose privatization. You could not ask for having two people with a better understanding and the experience they had with private prisons as sheriffs giving a reason as to why they oppose future privatization. You had eloquent speeches from both Democrats and Republicans that oppose this. When President Haridopoulos asked me or said he wanted me to chair this committee that oversaw the appropriations and the budget of the Department of Correction and other agencies within the jurisdiction of that committee, I made it clear to him at that point, and that was a year and a half ago, that I did not support and would not support the expansion of privatization in the state of Florida of our prison system. So he understood this a year and a half ago. This wasn't something that came on last week or last month. For some reason, I guess he thought that he could convince me, but I was dead set against it because it's bad policy. I was, a bit disappointed when I was told that I was no longer going to chair the committee. But if it meant, again, that by giving up or being removed as a committee chair of that committee because I opposed something that I truly believed in my heart was wrong, then as I said that day, and I'll say it today, I wear that with a badge of honor.
Did you see the Lucy Morgan column about – now
– we're talking about the Lucy Morgan column that came out this morning.
Yes.
In regards to the arm twisting and but the members holding firm even though their arms were being twisted.
Right.
I did read that, yes.
Is that a bit overblown?
No.
Do you believe that that's an accurate description?
I think it's an absolute accurate description. I think Lucy Morgan did a phenomenal job, and she's right on as far as describing what went down to get these votes to help two corporations that have donated to the political process up here with substantial dollars. And two corporations that have no skin in the game that would have benefited greatly to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars for years to come if the privatization had passed.
She describes her opening line is, what are things in the Florida legislature coming to when one senator needs protection to walk on the Senate floor? The debate over privatizing much of Florida prison system last week probably marks one of the few times a couple of senators provided an escort for one of their colleagues. From the opposing party, no less. How does that make you feel about the Florida Senate since you've devoted so much of your time to the legislative process? How would you describe the description?
First of all, it is accurate. What Lucy writes there is absolutely accurate. She did a great job, and it saddens me that's what took place. I watched it. I heard it. I knew it, that it was going down. There's no question that Senator Bullard was lobbied so heavily that her colleagues, both Republicans and Democrats, pretty much had to come and stop the lobbying that was being done by other legislators, other senators. We know for a fact that both Senator Ulrich and Senator Dean were called into the governor's office to be lobbied, to ask them to change their vote in favor of privatization. We know that Senator Jones, with his quote right there, made it clear that that he was called to come down to see the governor, and he said no. The vote is going to be taken today, and now you're calling me down to speak to the governor on the issue. Dennis Jones was adamantly opposed to the expansion of privatization, and of course voted against it too. So it's not just an accurate story. It's beyond accuracy. It's you've got quotes from members of the legislature verifying what was reported in that story.
So there would appear to be a serious rift within the Republican Party.
Well, and I apologize. You keep saying the Republican Party. I don't think it's the party itself. It's the Florida Senate. In my 18 years, I have never seen the Florida Senate act the way they're acting. When I was a House member and I was majority leader of the Florida House, when there's 120 members in the Florida House and 40 members in the Florida Senate, usually it was the Florida House that would, because you have 120 members, would do maybe some things that the Senate would clean up for you. We used to kid about how, we can pass it and the Senate will clean up our mess when it gets over there and take care of the issue. And that was a standing kind of comment or joke. Of course, it didn't happen all the time, but we laughed about it. But when I watch the Senate today, no longer being the leader like it had been for years, no longer being the institution of with great character and respect to each other, it concerns me greatly. It's always been the Senate that has taken the lead in getting us out on time, getting the budget done, doing the right thing, and setting a course for our state to go in the right direction. And right now, it's the House that's doing that.
So you draw a distinction between the Florida Senate, which is dominated by the Republican Party with a supermajority, and the party as a whole, that one should not look at what's going on in the Florida Senate as representative of the state Republican Party?
Sure, I certainly do, because you don't have every Republican in the Florida Senate that is supporting the ideas of the leadership of the Florida Senate.
That's an important distinction. Thank you, sir. So you have 18 years in the Florida legislature, your term limited out. One thing about your career, it reminds me of what my high school football coach used to say.
Did you wear helmets back then?
Yes, but it didn't prevent the concussions.
I mean, bless you.
the high school sports bill that the legislature is debating is,
yes,
I think, is extremely important.
It is important.
Because because problems do develop later on.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, my high school football coach said that what used to say that the measure of a man is not how many times he gets knocked down, but how many times he gets up.
Yes. I've heard that many times. Yeah.
And you have shown a remarkable ability to pick yourself back up from personal tragedies through political consequences for taking a stand. Your time in the Florida Senate ends at the end of the year.
Yes.
So what's next for Mike Fasano?
Don't know yet. We hope to continue to serve the people from Pasco County, maybe the people from the Tampa Bay area in some capacity if they'll allow us to. And until the maps are finalized with the courts, and that probably won't happen until sometime the beginning of March, and there's a very good chance that the legislature may be called back to have to deal with the redistricting maps that were sent to the Florida Supreme Court. Until that is all finalized, then at that point we'll make a decision. I would love to continue to serve if the people will allow me and my staff to, in some capacity, just helping the people back home. One of the great things and the joy that I have is helping our constituents back home. When I was majority leader of the Florida House, and I tell my colleagues all the time, those that ask me, that regardless of what legislation you pass, regardless of what appropriations you may get to bring back home, the most important thing that you can do that day is to return a phone call to a constituent that needs your help back home, because that constituent will remember that and appreciate that for the rest of their life.
Senator, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I thank you. I really enjoyed this. Thanks for allowing me to come and visit with you.
Thank you, Senator Mike Fasano.
Thank you.
Thank you to our guests, State Senator Mike Fasano of Newport Richey and Chief Legislative News Producer James Call. You're listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our senior producer is Regan McCarthy, with technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.